BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny Morello.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad. Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBD1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Warden. Joining me is my ever-faithful producer slash handyman slash general asshole, Sir Rockin.
What have I done to be an asshole tonight?
Oh, do you really want me to count the ways on that one?
I haven't done anything at all tonight. I've been
praying for the Cowboys to lose for the last hour.
Well, who isn't?
Cowboys fans everywhere.
Yeah, you know, that lonely one in Arizona saying, yeah, we're still going to win the playoff. Oh, no, wait. How about them Cowboys? You know. Hi, Kane Kinnens.
Is he actually in the chat room?
No. He's busy at work, you know, because he never leaves that room that he works in.
Dude, we have got to get you a life.
Or at least a window. I wonder if he has a window.
Kane Kinnens, do you have a window?
Let us know if you have a window. It'd be nice to know if you have at least a window so you can see the outside. If you don't have a window, Hunter has a sledgehammer you can borrow and just make your own.
Exactly.
Though the Cowboys are winning 21-7 at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's the Bears, and the Bears are awful.
Pretty much. But yeah, anyway, enough football because, well, we have a lot to get into tonight.
Yeah, there's a couple big subjects that we need to get into tonight.
Yep, so we're kind of bucking the normal routine here. We're going to have the discussions in the beginning of the show, and then we're going to kind of close with Tweet of the Week and NXT. And we really kind of want to start out because there were two major interviews that happened this week where lots and lots of news came out. One of them was Stone Cold Steve Austin interviewing one Vince McMahon, and the other one is, of course, CM Punk being interviewed by Colt Cabana. And we're actually going to start with Stone Cold interviewing Vince, because there was some interesting things that came out in the Vince interview, and we'll transition to the Punk one after the break. But where do we start with Vince?
Well, we can start about the good old days where he's pushing people into the pool, or we can talk about, you know, the decision that left someone here crying.
Oh no, we're going to talk about the thing that made me cry.
Yeah, let's talk about the thing that made you cry. Vince McMahon was asked by Steve Austin about the decision, you know, up from WrestleMania 30, where they ended the streak. Austin brought up to the Undertaker, brought up the Undertaker backlash finish and said he couldn't believe his eyes when Taker's streak ended. Austin was in the production truck watching the show live. Austin asked how, when, and why the decision was made. Vince said no one wants to give back to the business more than Taker, whereas he had, during this interview, called him Mark Calloway.
Only Vince can.
There comes a time in which it's time to do that, McMahon said. Vince questioned who else could give back in a way to make someone a star. Come on, dude, you can't tell me Undertaker made that decision, Austin said. Vince said he made his decision, but no one wants to give back to the business like the Undertaker. Vince said you have to make difficult decisions sometimes. He said he feels he made the right call at the right time. Vince says he doesn't think anyone could have been hotter than Lesnar in reminding everyone that he ended Taker's streak. I'm just gonna bail out and, yeah.
Okay. For the record, Vince actually stated that... Well, let me back this up. Before I go there, I completely 100% respect Vince's decision. Mm-hmm. It is Vince's choice. I respect the fact that he, you know, Taker wanted to give back. I have no issue with any of those reasons for ending the streak. I think that's perfectly acceptable. That would be really the only reason I would accept. What I don't accept about this is that basically Vince used the phrase... I forget what the exact phrase was, but basically the streak would be used to make someone into a star, to help someone become a star.
Right.
That was pretty close to what he actually said. And in his mind, no one fit that except Brock Lesnar. And that's where I take issue with it, because I think if you're going to use it as a star-making tool, Brock Lesnar would be the wrong choice for that, because Brock is already a household name. He's already a legit badass in everybody's eyes. Brock didn't need the streak in anybody's mind.
No, it was good for him, but it could have been
good for him, but he didn't need it. They could have done that for him in another way, and it would have been just as fine. Because my issue is that it's like, okay, fine, you gave it to Brock Lesnar. Okay. Brock Lesnar shows up at the next pay-per-view, he wins the title, and he leaves. We have not seen Brock Lesnar.
Well, you say next pay-per-view, it was like 4 pay-per-views later.
Whatever. Whenever he showed up next to win the title, and then he's been gone in between. So it's like, if you're going to use something like that to make somebody a star, why would you give it to somebody that's not going to be there all the time? And I wholeheartedly support the Lesnar not being there every time thing. I actually like the fact that the champion is not on TV right now and that you have to pay to see him.
Right, we'll get more into that here in a bit.
But I feel like it's like, if you really wanted to make that decision, if that was really in the back of your mind and there was someone that you wanted to do that with, you have a lot of young guys on the roster right now that you could have built up to that point and pulled out a surprise victory on The Undertaker. You have plenty of veterans on that roster that you could have given it to that could have easily run with it. It's just, I think it's, if you're going to, the 2 points were make someone a star, and it's the fact that it went to somebody who's not there all the time. Those are my two big issues with what he said, because it's like, but if you do the math, it doesn't really add up.
Now, I want to make a counter argument, and it's one I don't believe in at any point, but I'm going to make it anyhow.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker to get a hold of to be the guy who beat the streak. So the end result is whoever beats Brock Lesnar is beating Brock who beat The Undertaker, so therefore they use the streak to make another guy after using the streak to make Brock. I don't buy that theory, but that's the theory they're probably working on, and that's the WrestleMania theory.
Yeah, you beat the one who's the one in 21-1. Yeah, that's the theory that everybody's working on, because basically Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker cannot beat Brock Lesnar. Who can? Well, there's a whole host of people that can beat Brock Lesnar. John Cena's done it. CM Punk has done it.
CM Punk never beat Brock Lesnar.
I thought he did.
Brock won at SummerSlam.
Okay. Well, fine. Cena can beat Brock Lesnar. End of discussion. You know, it's something of Brock Lesnar is not unbeatable. He can be defeated, but it's going to take someone with a lot of cojones to beat him. And, you know, they want that person to be Roman Reigns. I'm not sure about that.
No. The one of the lines was, he said it was time, and when you looked down the line on who he could work with, who else was it going to be? There was no one else it could be. He said that Brock was the one person that Mark felt was the guy.
And that's fine. You know, again, completely respect the decision. I don't think it's the right decision.
No, I don't think it was the right decision then. I don't think it's the right decision now. But it's a decision we're living with just based off of how things have transpired. And again, it's cool that Brock won. Again, I'm not as heartbroken over the streak as Lindsay was. I sort of gotten over it, kind of. And I still think Brock, in the end, was a good candidate. But again, you could have used a streak on its own to make someone.
Yeah, and it, like I said, there are
plenty of others.
Sorry.
Oh no! There they go.
There they go. There they go.
But there's
and
a
touchdown, Dallas.
There's a flag on the play though, so we'll see if that one's coming back.
We'll see. But there are plenty of young guys that could have used that to have been made. But at this point, what's done is done. The other underlying factor in this seemed like the answer was actually very kind of vague.
Because they were sort of trying to protect.
Yeah, they're kind of dancing around the real issue, which is what's been kind of rumored for months, which is in fact that Taker's done. And that they're not going to confirm it until everybody knows for sure. Because I think at this point, Taker himself may not be ready to acknowledge that he's done.
Because this is this is training season for The Undertaker. And maybe he's trying to give his body a little bit more oil in the joints. And like, no. He's probably trying to give it one last go, I bet. I honestly think he is.
Probably. The way that he is and the way that you hear about him, or what you hear about him, I should say, the mind and the heart are willing. He loves this business. This is what he wants to do. His body, on the other hand, can't.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it goes. I think if Taker could do this till the day he drops dead, he would. But unfortunately, he can't, because at some point your body says enough is enough, especially given the amount of abuse that his body has taken over the years.
The amount of abuse, the amount of surgeries, yeah. He should just, yeah. We weren't sure about him showing up this year, than last year, I should say. Well, this year technically was. But the year coming up, yeah, no. I think he should put it to bed.
Well, I mean, it's kind of once the streak dies, what, other than to see The Undertaker, which it's always wonderful to see The Undertaker, minus, you know, the Mohawk and the Furby.
Well, we can confirm the Furby is gone.
Yes, the Furby is gone. And the Mohawk is gone because he grew his hair back.
Well, that's Mark's hair. Taker's hair.
Shh. Don't tempt him to shave it. But...
Well, if he wants to come back, Taker can't come back with hair. He has to come back with the, you know.
Bald. Waiting for the year he just comes back completely bald.
Because then all the toys have to be redone where he's bald now.
Actually, I wonder if he realized how stupid he looked with that mohawk, and that's why he grew his hair back.
I'd be okay with him just growing his hair back, because, yeah.
It would make me so happy if he looked in the mirror one day and he went, oh, crap, this looks really stupid.
I'm 49 years old with a freaking mohawk. Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. But no, it's... for the last few years, WWE has used the streak as the storyline catalyst for Taker. Where it's for about the last 10 years or so, the streak has been kind of that built-in storyline for Taker, where it doesn't really, you don't really necessarily have to come up with a lot for him, because you just have to base it around the streak. And then the last couple years especially, it has been about the streak specific, where, you know, when it first started, it was all storyline based. So now it's something of, if you want to have The Undertaker at WrestleMania one last time, you know, in a farewell match or whatever, you have to physically come up with a storyline for him that's beyond streak.
Right. And you can come up with something, and that's a subject for another day.
Taker versus Bray Wyatt.
Only if you have, you know, Taker go over Bray Wyatt.
I think he would be okay with that. I would be okay with that.
You say that right now.
No, I would be okay with that.
No. If Taker went, no, I think at the end you would realize that Bray should have gone over.
There should have, and then there's actuality, and the fact that unless Taker has a match in between now and then, no, it's going to be Taker goes over all the way. That's he laid down for Brock. He gave back. And you know what? He may decide to lay down for a young kid. Because here's the thing, is it's like the streak is dead, but we don't know if The Undertaker's dead. Nobody's seen him. Nobody's heard from him. And there could be one more match. There could be a retirement match in his future.
And honestly, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with him coming to the ring, do a 5-minute entrance, a 2-minute match, and be done. Let him do his all his moves, do the old school, do the chokeslam, do the tombstone, let him beat up some dude, you know, beat up, you know, some guy, you know, I was going to say Ryback, but no, Ryback is a career killer, apparently. We'll talk about that more later. But you could find a heel. Cesaro would, you know, let him grab that brass ring and go for it with the Undertaker.
Bray. Or Luke.
No, a Luke Harper would work, but you don't want to see Bray Wyatt get squashed in 2 minutes.
No. But, yeah, just... Yeah. So, that was my main kind of issue with going kind of full circle. That portion of the interview with Vince, which was that, you know, basically, we're going to tap dance a little bit around the answer, and it's... We wanted to use it to make somebody a star, and well, we picked Brock. It's like, what?
Right.
It's like, that doesn't add up. Okay.
Okay, so that was one thing. Then it really got juicy. There's other juicy tidbits in here, and the first one I want to talk about is the one I sort of mentioned was Cesaro, and Vince was very outspoken about Cesaro.
Vince is not high on Cesaro. Like, I think Vince sees talent in Cesaro, but he openly admitted that Cesaro does not have, at least in Vince's mind, the it factor. And he doesn't know whether it's just his wrestling ability, the fact that he's Swiss.
Yeah, he used the words he's European and maybe he's Swiss. Because he's Swiss. Yeah, that... Because Austin... Everyone asked Vince Steve Austin about Cesaro and how, you know... How he had this chance and he just isn't connecting, and Vince is like, he's missing that it factor, and I think we've been on record saying, well, Cesaro is awesome in the ring, he is missing it. And you hate to say that about a guy who's so talented as Cesaro, but there are some times in wrestling where a guy just doesn't have it, and you see it all the time. There are moments where a guy looks great and he has all the talent in the world, and it just goes back to the Zack Ryder thing. Everyone was very high on Zack Ryder because he got himself over, but he was also missing it. Behind woo woo woo, you know it, and you know, like me on Facebook, follow me on the Twitter.
Spike your hair, take care.
Right. There wasn't much to him. And, you know, Vince was basically saying, at that moment, and hopefully, he will get it. He just doesn't have it.
I think part of what might help, because here's the thing, like, Cesaro started to get over when he was with the Real Americans. He had started to get over before. Like, there's always this point where Cesaro starts to get over, and then they're like, oh, nope, can't, and they stop him. And Cesaro on his own has the ability to be really entertaining. He really does.
Well, he's in a very natural setting, and that's why Austin brought his name up, because when they did a 2K15 panel, Cesaro was very entertaining. He's very quick. He's a quick wit, and he's able to think on his feet. But again, that's not, you can't really do that in a pro wrestling setting all the time.
You can't, but I think if they let him do more of that, that would help. Because the thing also about Cesaro that's very difficult to connect is there's no reason for anyone to really invest in him. It's, yeah, he's a great wrestler, and yeah, he can be funny sometimes, but you don't really know enough about him beyond he's Swiss, and he's super strong, and he does a really cool spinny move.
Which he doesn't do anymore.
Which he doesn't do anymore, and that's the thing, is the swing was over. And then they killed it.
Because they turned him heel.
Because they turned him heel. But it's like, there, you don't really know enough about Antonio Cesaro, or Cesaro at this point, to really invest in him, to really care about him. He's a very, the character itself is very one-dimensional. It's very flat. When the person is very clearly not. I mean, the dude speaks 5 languages.
Which is very impressive.
He has an incredible wrestling resume. I don't know that much about him, but I know what I know, and it's like, outside of the ring, he seems like a very fascinating and interesting person, but in the ring, he's not. And it's like, if they could figure out a way to kind of bring some of those elements back into the character, because for a long time, he did, you know, the whole 5 languages thing, and the Euro trash, and the Euro snob thing. Shouldn't say Euro trash, but Euro snob thing. And it worked for him.
Right.
And it's just something, it's like, you want to invest in Cesaro. You really do, but there's nothing to really hook into. Like, there's no, you know, it's like, just to give the stupid example, I was sitting here rooting for Eric Rowan to solve the Rubik's Cube. It's the stupidest thing in the world. But you're rooting for Eric because you're emotionally invested in him to solve the Rubik's Cube because you know it'll make him so happy. Like, it's that kind of stuff that it's, once they get you to invest in that person, they've got you. And it's just, it's like, Cesaro, it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Cesaro. Yay. And that's it.
Right.
He's very one-dimensional.
Right. You know what you're going to get out of Cesaro. You're going to get a good wrestling match. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he has more talent than that. I know he has more ability than what they let him. It's just, it's trying to find that sweet spot for him, and I think if they let him bring more of that quick wit and more of that, just more of his personality in, that would really help him, because the thing is the stuff with Sheamus was really good.
Oh, yeah, they had great chemistry together, and they, again, that showed off his quick wit a little bit when he was able to do commentary. But I don't know if it connected, because, again, the commentary, not everyone hears.
Not everyone hears, but it got more people interested in both Sheamus and Cesaro than there had been previously, and that's what you want to do. And if you can keep finding those people for Cesaro to work with where he has that kind of instant chemistry, or really good chemistry with someone, then that's how you kind of get him over, because with chemistry in a feud will come an interesting feud usually. And that's what brings people in, is interesting feuds. So if you can get someone interested in what's going on in the story, then they will invest in one or both of the characters. And then from there, once you've got them invested, then they'll follow that character throughout their career.
The problem is they don't have enough characters to bounce off of.
Oh, I agree.
And that's sort of, you know, another point that was brought up is, like, they're looking for people. Basically, Stone Cold looked at the locker room, basically challenged the locker room to grab that brass ring right now to step up and do something to get yourself over. And they made this, Vince made, you know, they made this point where it's like people are walking around on eggshells because they don't want to piss anyone off, and it's like, how are you supposed to get over without pissing someone off? Well, you become creative. And Vince basically said, just don't piss anybody off. There are ways to get yourself over and be edgy and do different things. Just use your brain to be creative. You don't have to piss people off along the way to, you know, say, here's what I want to do. I have this idea. And if you pitch them a good idea, 90% of the time, they will listen to your good idea and use it.
Yeah, they will.
But no one, people are afraid to challenge them on it. Because they feel like if we challenge, it's going to hurt us. And I think that was the message they were trying to send to the locker room. Because they brought up the term, this locker room is full of millennials. Who are, you know, who basically called everyone sort of soft a little bit in the locker room. Where they don't take risks like they did back in, you know, the Attitude Era, which was almost 20 years ago at this point. Scary when you do the math how long it's been. When you really think about it, it's been 20 years since the Attitude Era, almost. About 17 years. Yeah. And I'm with them in the fact that, you know, you don't see anyone trying to take a risk. But again, they brought up that they have a lot of writers, and it used to be Vince McMahon, Pat Patterson, and someone else, Bruce Pritchard, sitting in Vince McMahon's pool and just, you know, putting together a show. But again, that was a smaller company. This is a bigger company. Back then, you had 2 hours of television. You have 6 hours of live television now.
Right.
There, you know, you need more people to do things. Like, in 1997, you had 2 hours of Monday Night Raw. That's all you had a week. And then you eventually got Heat, and then you got a SmackDown. And then you had your 5 hours. But that's when they started bringing in more people, and things got more... You got more people working on the things, and, you know, you try different things. And Vince McMahon knows not every idea he's going to hear is great, but, it, you know, you need people with different ideas. Maybe they have a good one, and maybe one of those ideas will stick. And it takes the writers to be creative, and it takes the talent itself to go, I want to do this, and this is how I want to do it, and you come with a plan. If you come with a plan, you'll be fine. Just don't piss people off. Don't say, you know, you don't do, you know, certain things to piss them off. You just, you approach it the right way. And I think you can say that about any business. If you approach it the right way, you're fine.
I agree, but at the same time, I have a counter argument to that.
Okay.
Which is, they're trying to incentivize, which I didn't say right, the locker room to step up and grab the brass ring. Where is the incentive? If you think about the Attitude Era and you think about that time, there was a war going on, and the incentive was you either stepped up or they went out of business, because it was a ratings war and you had to step up, because the company, if you didn't, and if enough people didn't, you were going to lose your job. And that's not what you want.
Right.
In this day and age, there is no war. There is no real incentive for anyone backstage to necessarily step up beyond they want more money, they want fame, they want, you know, personal goals, whatever. And that's perfectly fine, but I think there are plenty of people backstage who are perfectly happy to collect a paycheck. They're making good money. They're probably making the best money they're ever going to make in their lives. They don't want to disrupt the boat.
Right, and then, you know, after that, they go on and become disgruntled workers, and we'll get to the disgruntled worker here in a bit. But, yeah, I'm with you on that one. There's no outside contributing factor to be... There's no... What basically they're saying is, there's no competitive nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Everybody's kind of on the equal playing field. There's no incentive to get yourself over because, one... There's no reason to, because you're making good money. Yeah, you could make more, but you know what? I'm perfectly happy where I'm at. And two, it's in the past when people have made the effort to get over, and again, we're going to use Zack Ryder as the perfect example. Dolph Ziggler is another example, where they have done things on their own to get over and get attention that hasn't been viewed in the best light. Now, granted, I'm sure they did piss people off, but I think a lot of people don't understand where the line is, because the line has probably not been clearly defined.
It never is, because it's probably an ever-changing line. It changes all the time, because people have different opinions about different things at different times. And again, culture evolves, so if you say one thing today, and a year from now, it could be totally different, because society and culture has changed in a different way, and people, you know, react to things differently a year later. That's just the way it is. And yeah, Zack Ryder got himself over, too. Again, the whole idea is Zack Ryder got himself over with the internet audience is one thing, but he never, and I don't know if this is his fault or WWE's fault, it never fully translated on television.
I think it was a little from column A and a little from column B, because Zack, a lot of the things he did on his show could not come to TV based on the time that it was a PG, really heavy PG era. They weren't necessarily pushing the envelope yet. And also, I think the WWE was a little miffed that Zack had gone out, he had done his show, he mocked the company in his show, and they weren't happy about that. And so they made sure that they made him feel the brunt of their displeasure. And he's still feeling it to this day. So it's something of, you see people getting punished for taking the initiative and doing something, and that's not what you want people.
No, it's not. But at the same time, they did reward him with a United States Championship run during his mini push as well. So they did reward him for getting over. It didn't last very long, but they did reward him.
Yes.
So it's like the locker room, again, like you hear guys like Bray Wyatt talking. He talks about how this is becoming their locker room. The young guys are going to be taking over. And I guess it's in a transition period. And Vince McMahon, when they asked about Monday Night Raw, who was the first person they brought up?
Bray Wyatt,
Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. He also mentioned Roman Reigns is going to be a big star. They have guys. Those are the four guys. Bray, Dean, Seth, and Roman are four guys that WWE is going to be leaning on here in the future to sort of carry the ball. And Vince McMahon sees something in them. Are they there yet? No. But are they going to get there? Probably. That's the future of the company right there. And Bray Wyatt mentioned in another Steve Austin podcast where he's a lifer. This is not in it to do something else and use this as a springboard. This is his life. This is what he's doing. So it's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Bray's going to be another taker. Everybody said it, and I'm kind of in agreement of that. Bray is going to be another taker. He's going to be a company man. He's going to stand by the company till the end. Because he has that love of the business drilled into him. And this is what he wants to do. You can tell that this is what he's meant to do, and this is what he really wants to do. And he's enjoying the hell out of it.
Right.
And he's enjoying the ride. For however long it lasts, he's enjoying it.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how the talent reacts and if the talent actually steps up to the plate and does things. And you can do things as simple as doing different things to get yourself over in a match. That's where you can start, in the ring.
Well, you know, you want to use an example of getting yourself over and taking initiative. Bray is a great example of that. He said many times, you know, nobody ever gave him really the green light to do Bray Wyatt. He just started doing it.
He had no choice.
He had no choice in the matter, but he came up with the character and he started doing the character and they ran with it.
Right, because that was his final chance. He was on his last legs and he had to come up with something because what he was doing elsewhere wasn't working. So he had to come up with Bray. He always envisioned Bray. And when he finally got the chance to run with Bray, he's run with Bray. Switching gears, though, because this is a subject we can go on and on about, but there's other points. Mm-hmm. There's other points about this awesome podcast we need to hit.
Okay.
So, we mentioned earlier special attractions.
Mm-hmm.
and one being Brock Lesnar, and you sort of touched on how he's not around a lot, and that's a good thing. I agree with you. That's a great thing that he's not around a lot, and he's a special attraction. He's a commodity. When he shows up, he shows up. And they sort of hit that point home on Monday Night Raw with Paul Heyman, and they hit it on the podcast as well with Vince McMahon. He said, you know, we signed him to a certain amount of dates, and when he shows up, he shows up, and we're going to focus on him when he shows up. And they sort of brought up the same thing with Sting, and how Sting is also going to be a special attraction, and they don't know exactly when he's showing up next, but Vince hinted, and is very clear about it, WrestleMania is in Sting's future.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sort of the noteworthy thing that came out of that discussion with Sting, is like, yeah, Sting is coming to WrestleMania, and there's reports coming around how Sting has signed a deal with WWE, a performance contract. I just don't agree with the rumored amount of dates they've listed, which it seems very, very odd to me, but again, it could be completely accurate, because the rumored amount of dates is 6. I don't buy that, but I could be totally wrong.
Well, if he does Raws and Mania only, there's what, in between where Chamber was and Mania? If you count the Mondays out,
he has 5 appearances left, because the way the report is counting it is they've already used 1 of the 6. I think there's probably more than 6 dates coming for Sting. Just call me crazy. I think they may have agreed to 6 already, but there's probably more coming.
Oh, I would agree with that one wholeheartedly. I mean, it was tentative 6 dates to start, because basically it's okay. Well, we're going to agree to a very low number of dates just in case this doesn't go the way we want it to go.
Right.
And then that way we bring him in for 6 appearances, and that's all we have to honor. And based on the reaction, they're probably going ahead and negotiating for more, because, yeah, if you have Sting under contract and you've got him there, the goal is to take him to Mania, because that's what he's going to want. That's probably what he's negotiated for, is to come in time for WrestleMania, to have a match at Mania, because he's never been, and to kind of tick that off his list.
Right. Which is what the whole plan is to do, is get him to WrestleMania. But they made a big point about special attractions and keeping them special, and I'm all in agreement. It's cool to keep them special attractions, because God knows you need special attractions in wrestling, because when The Rock shows up, it's amazing. When you know, Brock shows up, You're glued to the TV. But if he's there every week, it's not special. Vince says there's only so many guys he can beat up. And, you know, if he's on TV every week, he'll run through the roster in about a month.
And pretty much.
That he has a good point about that. They talked about the Jim Ross situation. He sort of basically brought up how he told the old story about how Jim Ross wanted to move back to Oklahoma. And that's why he was not in talent relations anymore. Because also was bringing up about how Jim Ross is a very smart man when it comes to pro wrestling. And how he should be a guy Vince leans on. But, you know, it seems like they've had a falling out. Even though Vince says they have no heat, there was a sort of a falling out there. Because of what happened at the 2K14 panel in Los Angeles, where he made some comments and let Ric Flair go Ric Flair. Woo!
It's Flair, and there's alcohol. Really?
Flair, alcohol.
What did you expect?
Flair, alcohol, and his son had recently passed. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good mix to have, but yeah, I think I genuinely think there is no heat between Vince and JR, but the thing is it's like they had to do something about that whole situation, and so they had to make an example of someone, and unfortunately JR was the scapegoat, and JR has criticized the company on his podcast, and they generally don't like that.
No. And yeah, they don't like that.
Ooh. Ow. That hurt.
Yeah, it did. But he's walking, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
As we're watching the Cowboys beat the Bears at this point, painful to say.
35-7, in case anyone's curious.
Mm-hmm. Because the Bears are awful. Just going to throw that out there. Bears are awful. So there's that, and there's no real heat, but they had to do something about it. Now, the one other interesting thing that we need to sort of talk about, and when the Austin Vince thing on the WWE Network, if you haven't seen it, please go and watch it.
Because yeah, it's really good.
It is really, really good. there was one moment, because it was supposed to go like 55 minutes, I think the original time was, from 11:05 to midnight. And there's Austin's being told, we gotta wrap, I got 10 seconds or whatever. And Vince is like, no, whoever's listening to me, I'm the boss, I own this place, we're going 15 more. Because you saw Vince McMahon getting very comfortable, and he was telling stories about, you know, his father and other promotions and stuff like that. But the one subject we want to talk about, the last subject really for now, and we'll talk more about Austin when we get to Punk and the comments that were made, was the thoughts on Shane McMahon. And that relationship, that, you know, they brought up Shane, which was interesting. I'm surprised they went there, but not at the same time.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting discussion about Shane, because Vince was clearly not 100% comfortable talking about Shane, and there's definitely still some bad blood there between Vince and Shane.
Yeah, Vince said Shane's departure was a mutual decision. He said, it's difficult to be a son or a dad in business, and it's not easy to have your wife working with you either. Vince says he does what he thinks is right for business. Austin asked if Vince wanted his kids in the business. Vince said he wanted them to do what they want to do. He said they both worked for the company in the summer, so Shane told Vince he wanted a raise one summer. He left and took a job as a bricklayer. Vince was proud of him for doing that and found his own way, but he's, you know, Shane wanted to go out on his own because I think Vince McMahon sort of, I think the writing was on the wall that he was not getting the company and it was going to Paul and Stephanie, as Vince put it. Because, you know, that's Stephanie's husband is Triple H, you know, Paul. And, yeah, so that's the way the company was going. And, yeah, you can see the relationship is not fully there, and Vince sort of made one flub. He talked about how he's working in Japan right now.
Mm-hmm.
China. You know, close.
Yeah, China, Vince. China.
China. Close enough. And he's trying to get pay-per-view distribution in China and that sort of thing. Which he's getting a lot of money into a company, which is good, and it'll pay off hopefully for him. But again, that's a slow moving business. But he's trying it, because we were in this discussion the other night where it's basically Shane has always wanted to do things, and he's always been on the, you know, he's been very in touch with pop culture and the trends and stuff like that. He was in the MMA before it started to burst out. He wanted to buy an MMA company. May have been Bellator at one point. I don't even know. I don't know if it was Bellator. Don't quote me on that. But it was an MMA company at one point. It might have been Strikeforce. I think it was Strikeforce. And go off and do that. But Vince turned him down. Because he wouldn't need the money from Vince. Yada, yada, yada. He wanted WWE to buy a company. He also wanted to buy ECW and run ECW. I think they told that on the Heyman documentary as well, where he wanted to buy ECW, and that just sort of didn't go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
And you could always see Shane wanted to do things, and you brought up how he was part of digital media, and he's the one sort of behind some of the inventions we've seen originally on WWE.com.
Yep. He's behind the expansion of WWE.com. He had the idea, he wanted to build, probably still does, a physical Hall of Fame. I think at one point he might have been the one who started the idea of the network, because Shane was the one that I think brought superstars and
Heat
and NXT to the website and had them stream off the website when they couldn't find a network to put them on. And so that's kind of the advent of the network. And Shane had a lot of ideas for WWE, and it would have been interesting to see what his vision of the company would have been, because I think he wanted to take it in a much different direction than it's gone.
Right.
But obviously we'll never know because Shane, you know, made the decision to leave. There were political reasons behind it. Mm-hmm. And he's moved on and is doing very well, apparently, which is what you want to hear. But it's a little sad because I think Shane, ooh, and they blocked the punt.
Field goal. Or extra point, I should say.
Extra point. But I was always curious to see what Shane would have done with the company because he had such a love for it and a love for business. And that's not to say that Stephanie and Hunter don't. But Shane, I think, has a greater love for it than his sister. She sees it much more on the business side. He sees it more on what it could be. He sees the larger picture for what it could be.
Right. She has one direction, and she's done an amazing job with the outside parts of it, and I think he had some more inside parts as well. But again, again, they had that falling out, and I think they all get along. I just think it's an interesting situation with the family. Those dinner, Thanksgiving and holidays are probably interesting. But the one thing that Vince brought up, that sort of Austin brought up, and Vince sort of had to tell the story, and it was one of the greatest stories you ever hear. So we mentioned earlier how Austin was talking about how Vince always had the meetings were done at the pool. Vince and Pat and Bruce Pritchard, they would just sit by the pool and they'd book the shows and put it all together. And Vince liked to do ribs and pull pranks, and Vince is big into that, right? And Vince always liked, you know, pushing some guy from the office into the pool. Well, one faithful day, this young kid named Shane McMahon, pushes his father into said pool. And the way the story is told, Vince hovered over the pool for like 5 or 6 seconds in the air, and he just lays out this explicit tirade of stuff. And yeah, it was one of the greatest stories. Like, he's floating in the air, just cursing up a storm, and then falls flat into the water, and you know, you just the look Vince gives, yeah. He's like, that son of a bitch got me, and he could never, and Shane just ran away. He got his father into the pool, and he just ran away. It was one of the funnier stories from the Austin podcast on WWE Network. And again, go watch it. You learn a lot. You get a lot of back history. Especially, you know, he talks about, you know, territories and stuff like that. And he talks a little bit about working for his father and how he became an announcer and stuff like that. And at first you get a lot of corporate spin from Vince, but then you saw something click in his head and he just sort of relaxed.
He did, you know, it was really nice to see Vince relax because you got to actually see Vince, which is a rare thing, because normally he is very guarded. He does the corporate spiel because that's what he's used to doing. And then it sort of went from that to Vince relaxing with Steve Austin and the two of them sitting there shooting shit, which is a really good interview because you got to hear things that you've never heard before. You know, the story about them being by the pool, about Austin being fined after he left, and a number of other stories, including, you know, the Taker stuff and what Vince kind of sees the business as and where it's going.
Right, and yeah, she mentions how Austin got fined and never told that story when he walked out. Vince McMahon wanted to fine him, what, $600,000?
Yeah, like $650,000 or something like that.
Yeah, he wanted to fine him like $650,000 and Austin talked it down to $250,000. But he got fined and he never told that story and how he just... Oh, Jesus. Yeah, he told the story of... how he had to pay the fine, so he did actually have to... He didn't get paid, and he had to pay a fine. So he got hit twice as hard back then. And back then, $250,000 was a lot. But,
yeah.
So, God, the Cowboys are winning. It's awful to watch.
It's hurting him. It's painful.
It really is painful to watch the Cowboys, you know, do something. But again, it's against the Bears, so I really can't say much about it. But that'll, you know, change. So yeah, there's a lot of things said, and again, it's very informative. It's very relaxing. He was very relaxed, and that sort of thing. Someone in the chat room asked what the question is. 35-13. The Cowboys are winning over the Bears, but it's the Bears, so, you know. It's that sort of thing.
He's sitting here grinding his teeth. Because, his Eagles might fall out of first place.
Okay, alright. Miss, my team's 5-7.
Hey, we're in first. I told you before, it is not the prettiest score, and we got there by sheer dumb luck, but we are in first place.
And technically, the Eagles can't get out of first place for a couple weeks, because if they do lose on Sunday, they would be tied with the Cowboys in first place.
Ooh, wouldn't that suck if they lost Sunday, and then they lost to the Cowboys, and they went out of first place?
She's a dead woman. Just pointing that one out. But yeah, so go and watch it. Again, if you're not a subscriber, subscribe to the WWE Network. It's only $9.99, and there's a lot of good things on the network, including NXT TakeOver R Evolution, which we're going to preview after our CM Punk segment. So you can look forward to that. But I think, hey, King Kins, identify yourself, buddy. Just throwing that one out there.
Apparently that other voice would be me, the one that's always right. So I'd say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about CM Punk, because, well, the hot news has dropped. Punk gave an interview with Colt Cabana, and also we're going to address some of the things that Vince McMahon said on CM Punk, because he did talk about it. So we'll bring you all the news on that when we come back. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
In all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down to the Sunday Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Bob, your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And, well, whether you like him or hate him, that's still a great song.
I know. I was like, oh, yeah, we have to come back. I like this song. He kind of ruined this song because it represents... Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, but yes, now we're going to get into the bigger news than Vince McMahon, and that is CM Punk. The mystery has finally been solved, y'all, because the man himself did an interview exclusively with Colt Cabana on Thanksgiving, where a lot of the details concerning his departure, concerning pretty much everything, came out. Mainly the departure, that's what everybody's pretty much interested in. And, well, Punk had a lot of grievances he wanted to get off his chest.
First things first, I thought he came off very bitter.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But where should we begin?
Well, I think we need to start with the big stuff, which is, you know, why he left.
Oh my god, I can't wrestle, do the main event WrestleMania. Okay, no. We'll get to that. God, that's a story of itself. Alright. He left, it all boiled up to he was working hurt. CM Punk has been battling through injuries for a majority of his career, especially the last 2 years of his WWE career, where he was really, really hurt. From his knee, to his elbow, to his, you know, to his back, which we're going to get into, which, you know, common sense would sort of tell you to do something else. But he, between injuries and being feel like he was creatively stifled, CM Punk decided to walk out on the WWE after he had a long closed-door meeting with Vince McMahon and Triple H. Basically, he was fed up with the creative direction and his spot. And, you know, Batista main eventing WrestleMania, he was upset with, and even though he's friends with Batista, and he's cool with it all, and it's like, he just sort of had enough, and he was frustrated that he never got his chance to be in the main event, the top spot at WrestleMania, because that was one of his goals, and he feels like, overall, it was a failure for him. His WWE career was a failure because he was never able to accomplish that. Though he was told, yeah, you were in a main event when you wrestled The Undertaker, but he wants the closing match. Because he says, did I get paid like a main eventer? Did I get paid like The Rock, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and Brock Lesnar, John Cena, The Undertaker, The Rock,
Batista,
and all the like. And Triple H was the other one. Did I get paid like them? No, because honestly, I don't think he was on that level.
I would agree with that. I mean, and that's no offense to Punk. That's no offense to anybody that thinks Punk is in fact the best of the world. Punk is very good at what he does. And I'm not going to argue that at all. But I don't think, despite the fact of what everything that Punk has done, I don't think Punk has given himself, especially to WWE, the way that Hunter and Taker and The Rock and several others on that list have. He did not have the careers that people on that list have had. And frankly, he did not, by all accounts, draw the money in that those people on that list have. And that's kind of what it boils down to, is how much you draw, how many butts you put in seats. And yes, he was a top merch seller, and yes, people were paying to see him, but that was the last 2 years of his career.
Right.
He was there 7 years, or no longer than that, like, what, 10?
8, 9 years.
So really, for the first 7 years, not a lot happened, and he really only broke out in the last 2 to 3 years of his career. And he's not to blame for part of that. He was being creatively held that back, and I'm not blaming him for that, but it's something of, you can't break out and then 3 years later expect to get the same level of money as someone who's been there 25 years and has sacrificed way more in terms of their body, their time, and really their life to the company. You can't honestly expect that.
Right, and he says he suffered a few concussions. He suffered one at the hands of Luke Harper and Kofi Kingston, especially the one of Kofi Kingston was the rumble where he left, where at the night after he had a concussion, he sort of said, I have a concussion, I'm not wrestling. They wanted to take him to take the test. He refused to take their test. And then, you know, argued, and they said, that's a concussion talking. No, it's not. And he just went, he was fed up. He was a prick to work with. His words, basically. He was a prick and difficult to deal with at some points. He told a lot of people to fuck off a lot, and he didn't like that, but he just sort of got worn out. He got beat up, and he just no longer cared. Okay, did WWE make some mistakes with CM Punk? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clear. But at the same point, when, you know, he wanted time off, and they called him back to do some things, fine. But that's, again, that's your job. You are a contracted worker. Even though you are an independent contractor, you still have a contract with the company.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that you may be listed as an independent contractor, but all independent contractors sign an agreement where here's a length of time we are working for you as an independent contractor.
You still have an obligation to fulfill your side of the contract, and CM Punk didn't necessarily fulfill his contract fully because he walked out on it.
So when they call and say, come and do a show, you know, even if you refuse, and Vince was like, I'll owe you one. It's like, technically, you know, he really doesn't owe you one. You should just come and do it. And that sort of played into some of the frustrations CM Punk had. Is like, I wanted time off. I couldn't get it. And, well, sometimes you just have to suck it up. Was he injured? Yeah. Should he have taken some time off? Yeah. But at the same time, his big complaints were over money. And, you know, injuries aside, it was money and his spot at WrestleMania. And he felt frustrated where, after a year or so as the WWE champion, he didn't want to lose to The Rock. Well, sort of. He later goes on and says, he has no problems with The Rock, but he basically went out and said, I didn't want to lose to The Rock. And he was trying to talk his way into a main event at WrestleMania 29 when he had no business being in the main event, because his proposal was The Rock's, John Cena, and CM Punk at WrestleMania 29. I'm sorry, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, and John Cena are way bigger stars than CM Punk is today and will ever be.
Yeah, he would have gotten lost in that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he really, really would have. He can shine on the mic, but when you're dealing with those two and kind of the history that they've built up between Cena and Rock, yeah, Punk would have gotten lost in that. And aside from Punk's the former champion and he lost it to either Rock or Cena, depending on who has it, or they're going for Punk's title, it just, Punk doesn't seem to fit in that mix.
Because he wasn't on their level. All right, so there's some of that. Alright, so he called Ryback out, and called Ryback very dangerous, and we've made it clear we're not big fans of the Ryback, because I just don't think he's very good, and CM Punk backs up those claims saying Ryback's not very good, and he went on to say in some of the comments that, you know, Ryback is dumb as fuck, hadn't even said, Ryback said he was dumb as fuck when he missed the table and injured him, and said, he took 20 years off my life, yada, yada, yada. And he really shot down hard on the Ryback. Some of it may have been deserved, but I don't think all of it was.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, there's having a grievance against a guy because he screwed up, and then there's just kind of ripping him a new one, and I don't think that was necessarily called for here.
No. And the Ryback was on 107.7 Sports Radio on the Zach McCreet show. I hope that's correct, the Zach McCreet show, and had some comments to say. We're going to let you hear what Ryback had to say in response to CM Punk, and then we'll discuss it a little bit more.
CM Punk and Colt Cabana had a little conversation on Colt Cabana's podcast. that he went on and told like this long, elaborate story of why he was let go from WWE, yeah. And your name came up quite a few times. And
quite a few times.
There was some unsavory stuff he said about you and about kind of how rough you were with him,
yeah.
And stuff like that. And I just saw recently you were back on Twitter and kind of fired back at him, saying a lot of that was untrue.
Real harmless fire back never hurts.
But
sissy. He was complaining about how rough he was.
That's true. That actually was true. That he said that he was kind of too
rough. I don't want to harp on this, but I will say the comments that he made were not accurate about me, definitely. It's a little disappointing to hear that. He was never like that to my face. And to hear the things that he said, especially behind my back to Vince, it's very disturbing to me. Things did not go ideal for me after that time period that we had wrestled. And I stuck around. I hung out. I showed up day in, day out. I did my job and turned things around. He goes on record saying, yeah, I broke his ribs on purpose and this and that. That's not true. And if it was, if he says that that happened, he never did anything about it. If he's this big, bad, tough guy. But it never happened. And you've got a roster full of WWE talent that knows the real Ryback. And everyone knows the truth. And what he said is not the truth. And I wish him the best. And I would like to think he would be thankful for everything that he has in WWE. And I was the one that, for lack of a better word, put him over time and time again. And then he walked out and left. And he was beaten up. He had his issues. I don't think anyone's going to question walking away being beaten up. But I think, and people say, what does he have to lose by saying what he does? I think he's making excuses and he wants people to feel sorry for him for leaving. He walked away and left and just man up. He needed time off. We all get beat up. We all work hurt. I was hurt for 7 months before I needed to get surgery. And I say at the end of the day, be thankful for everything you have from WWE. When they need a job, there's good and bads. Good and bad. And focus on the good. Don't be bitter, because who knows what's going to happen down the line. But I wish him the best, and I don't want to sit there and get into a war of words. It's not going to do good for anybody, and hopefully we'll see him down the line.
And just to kind of throw this in, let's be real here. This is professional wrestling. A lot of people listening to this might think that this is a work or whatever.
Yeah.
This is the real thing. These are two guys who have different opinions on what happened.
And so. If I was as big, bad, and rough, and, for what he's saying in the ring, and I beat him up so badly that he took 20 years off his career, do you think that WWE would have me in the ring with guys like John Cena and Dolph Ziggler and other top WWE talents? No, I wouldn't be here. I would be gone. And we have a roster full of guys that know the truth. He said what he said, and I respect his opinion to say what he wants to say, but it's not true. And I know some people are going to believe him, some people aren't. But, in a few weeks it's going to be irrelevant, and I'm going to be with the WWE moving forward.
Hate to say I agree with the Ryback, but I agree with the Ryback.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Very, very classy response on his part, by the way.
Though, I did love the shot he put out on Twitter, where he had all of his action figures surrounding a CM Punk who went through a table. That was a nice response by the Ryback. So there is that. All right. So to get really into the crux of things, okay, he was very pissed off that Triple H didn't put him over in 2012 when he was very hot, and then or 2011 I think it was when he was on a roll, and they were doing the storyline between Hunter and CM Punk, with Punk just came back. And Hunter beat him at Night of Champions. And Punk was very mad about that one. And should have Hunter put him over? Probably. But you know what? It happens. You lose. You win some, you lose some. You then went on to have a 434-day title reign. And then you complain about losing to The Rock, John Cena, The Rock, The Undertaker, and Brock Lesnar all in 1 year. It's like, there are guys in that locker room, and a lot of people have been saying this, there are a lot of people in that locker room that would have died to have said, in 1 year, they wrestled The Rock, The Undertaker, and Brock Lesnar.
Right?
Because you don't get those matches, and CM Punk was damn sure lucky to get those matches. Now, did he lose some money when he turned babyface? Yes. Because he was the top, he was the number two babyface, his merchandise was selling, and apparently was hotter than John Cena's at the point, because, well, when you put out a lot of new merch, you're always hotter. so there's that one thing. But he had to turn heel or lose the title. And the title would have gone to Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan would have faced The Rock. And boy, would that have changed the course of history. If Daniel Bryan, who was not as hot as he is now, he was the bad guy at that point. If he had a good, that could have changed the course of history, and the Yes Movement would have never happened, and things would have turned out very differently if Daniel Bryan was the guy. And I honestly think that would have been a unique matchup, and I still think that could be a unique matchup one day, The Rock versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Then CM Punk went on to say he created the Shield because he was told when he turned heel he was going to get a group to go with him. He picked Chris Hero, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose. They put in Roman Reigns instead of Hero, which, you know, we all know why. Because, you know, Roman is the next guy. And it's sort of like, okay, you may have picked guys and may have wanted the guys, but I don't think you created Shield. And I think he stepped over the line saying he basically created the Shield. So
yeah.
I sort of took offense to that. It's like, you may have put guys to ask for a certain group of guys, but the group of guys got themselves over.
I mean, it's something of it's to take full credit for it. I think that's a little insulting to one WWE creative, which I'm sure was the point, and to actually Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, because they are the ones that are responsible for all the success that they have, because they're the ones that took the Shield and made it into what it was. They were allowed to create the essence of it, and that's why it was around for almost 2 years, was because they did everything they could for it to make it the best that it could possibly be. And I, you know, Punk may have had the idea, Punk may have made the suggestion, but Punk wasn't the reason it was successful.
Right.
And the Shield itself was the reason it was successful. So I think that's a little much for him to take full credit, you know, but like I said, if he had the idea and he put the guys together, props to him. Obviously, I don't know how Hero would have fit into that dynamic. Obviously, they found the right dynamic with Roman Reigns instead of Hero, so...
Yeah. Okay, so now, basically, what ended up happening is he walked down WWE, and he had no communication with them, and, you know, he was suspended for 2 months, and then was told, you know, they never said anything. He was suspended until right after WrestleMania, because that's what they had to do legally, suspend him since he walked out, and then Vince said he was on sabbatical, yada, yada, yada. We already knew that story. Okay, so he was fired on his wedding day, and Vince McMahon went on to apologize and on the podcast with Austin about it. And okay, then CM Punk retorted, you know, that was basically a publicity stunt because he could have called him and seen him and yada 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 since it happened in June. I agree somewhat, but again, I thought Vince was genuine when he apologized to CM Punk.
You know. How are they supposed to... Well, I'm sure they did know they were getting married because I'm sure AJ told them.
Yes, and because Hunter spoke to Punk 2 days before the wedding because Hunter texted him, do you have time to talk? So they knew when he was getting married because AJ asked for time off for the honeymoon, yada, yada, yada. And they knew they overnighted it, and yeah. That was a... That was a Hunter move, not a Vince move, because Hunter hates Punk. That's sort of what the crux of this all is. Hunter is not a big fan of Punk.
No, and if it was a dick move, I'm not going to lie. It was definitely a dick move. Vince did the right thing. He apologized for it. You know, whether it was his fault or not, I'm not going to lay any judgment there. But, you know, in terms of, oh, well, they could have called me, they could have done this, they could have done that. Obviously, they were trying to reach out to you at some point. Because from what at least I had always heard was WWE was attempting to keep constant communication with Punk. Vince even admitted that they had tried and Punk had not reciprocated, that Punk had communication issues.
Yes, they kind of dropped that where it's like, again, there's always two sides of the story. Punk says they never reached out. Maybe, you know, somebody just doesn't want to respond.
Yeah, I mean, the story was that a lot of people were trying to get a hold of Punk initially, and he just was not responding to anybody, which that could be true. You know, it could be that WWE initially tried to reach out to him. He didn't respond. And they gave him his space.
They let him they cool off, and Austin brought up how that same thing sort of happened with him. He was not communicating with anyone. And then Jim Ross stepped in, and there was no middleman. And if there was a middleman, things may have been resolved between Punk and WWE, but there was no middleman because, well, Punk has a lot of enemies, and yeah, that sort of thing.
You know, honestly, I don't know if it would have been. I don't think Punk would have come around like Austin was. Punk, especially in this interview, strikes me, and this is not meant as any disrespect by Punk to Punk, but just the feel that I get for him is, I'm always right, everybody else is wrong, and once his mind is made up, that's it. You can't change it. And so I think someone sitting down with Punk and, you know, trying to play the middleman like Ross did with Austin wouldn't have worked.
It may have, it may have not have, but again, there was no attempt made, and that's sort of the issue. Now, there's one other point I wanted to bring up, and that was about how one of the injuries he had on his way out, and that was called the little bump on his back, and it's been blown up. And everyone circled the little thing on Kane's back, saying, hey, hey, he has the same thing Punk did. Did you see this? You see that? You see that bump on his back? Yeah? Okay. So
he's had the bump on his back for years, y'all.
But did you not see it? It's circled on internet websites. Like PWmania.com, the official news source of the wreck. anyway, so he brings up that he had a little thing on his back, and it grew and grew and grew, and it turned out to be a staph infection. And WWE said the doctors refused to cut it out, and they gave him antibiotics to wear it down. And we know all antibiotics work, and guess what? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Okay. And then it was later revealed staph infection and possibly MRSA, and he could have died, yada, yada, yada. Okay, we all know that story already. Logic tells me, if you're having an issue, maybe you go see a doctor. If the WWE doctor is not helping you, go see your own personal doctor.
Well, my side of it is, it's like, you knew about it. Obviously, some time passed.
2 months.
2 months, okay, that it went untreated. And then it finally got to the point where AJ was like, it's gross, go get it checked. And the doctors looked at it for WWE and were like, oh, it's a staph infection. He wanted it cut out. They refused and instead gave him antibiotics, which is, you know, in terms of a doctor, you try to work your way up to surgery. You don't start at surgery. You work your way up to it to see if it can be treated without surgery, because given the time when Punk would have needed this done, would have been right in the middle of WrestleMania season, and they try to avoid surgery probably at all costs for people during that time.
He wanted it removed the night of the Royal Rumble, and he had to go out on the Royal Rumble, so the doctor wasn't going to remove it because he had to go and wrestle. Again,
yeah.
Go and see a doctor. She told him after the fact, because he wasn't sleeping, after he left WWE, to go to her doctor in Tampa to get it checked out, and that's what he did. Common sense, you had 3 months prior to this, go get it checked out. Just go to a doctor. They gave you antibiotics right away. Maybe they didn't work. Maybe you should, you know, go see your own doctor. Just call me crazy. And I on Sunday, Mason was talking about maybe he didn't have time to do it. There's always time.
Yeah, it's something of, there's a medical staff there, and you're in cities, there's a little, you have downtime. Not a lot, but you know, you have downtime, and it's something of, if you go, hey, I've got this thing on my back, I want to go get a second opinion on it, can I have a couple hours to go to the doctors? They'd probably be like, yeah, fine, go for it. You know, it's really not that big of a deal. It's, you know, and I think everybody's blowing this story out of proportion where it's like, oh, well, you know, WWE refused to treat him. No, WWE didn't refuse to treat him. They did treat him. They just did not give him the treatment that he demanded, which is he wanted them to cut it out, and they wouldn't do it. At least not then, because it was the night of the Royal Rumble, and he had to work. And the last thing you want is to cut something out of someone where they're going to be slamming on their back for a while. Because to cut out a staph infection, that would require stitches and everything else. And it's like, they're not going to do that the night he's going to wrestle.
Right. And when you show up to work and say, cut this out, and you're booked to wrestle, you really can't do anything about it. So, there's a lot more to get into, and it's been talked about a lot, but those were our general thoughts. And I thought he came off as very bitter in his interview. I thought he had some valid points, but again, he was very bitter. And the second part, it wasn't as bitter, but I think he got all of his bitterness out. But you could tell he's very bitter about what happened. And going forward, we'll see what happens. He's, you know, I never will see him. I don't think we'll ever see him in WWE again.
No, I would say, I think Vince would like to have him back. I think Vince wants him back. But Hunter and Steph will do everything they can to ensure that he never comes back, because they just don't like him. And I think the feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
Where it's just, yeah, they don't get along. And I think Punk had a very, very valid reasons for leaving. And I can respect his reasons. I just can't respect the way that he did it. Because at the end of the day, in listening to his reasons, it sounds like a lot of it was he didn't get the money he felt he was worth. Or really, it comes down to money, and it came down to his spot at WrestleMania. And it's like, you know what, here's the thing, dude. In terms of the spot at Mania, everybody wants to be in the closing match of WrestleMania. Everybody. Even if you're not a wrestler, you want to be in the closing match of WrestleMania, because it's that big. But only a handful of people can do that. And there's a lot of people in line ahead of you for that spot.
Right.
And I, you know, again, I love Punk. I think he's a great performer, and I have a lot of respect for what he can do in the ring, but he comes off to me as always wanting to be the big fish in the tiny pond, and it's all about him, and it's either his way or the highway. That's how he's always come off to me, and it's like, those people, I just sometimes I have no time for, because they're so short-sighted that they can't see past their own nose. They're that into themselves. And it's like, you gotta look past yourself and kind of see the bigger picture here and where you fall in the bigger picture.
Right. Oh, and one other quick thing before we had the break on this. Hey, Punk, if you don't like the word pipe bomb, don't sell merch that with the word pipe bomb as the title for your t-shirt.
Right?
Just hypocrite much? Just want to point that one out.
So, alright, well, I say we take our second break of the evening.
Yeah, and I say when we come back, we preview NXT Our Evolution. How about that?
That sounds like a plan. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Goodbye to me and you, goodbye to the life we knew. One last long embrace, let go and walk on through. I'm leaving everything behind for a peace that I can't find. Ghosts that roam this house, winter air after I.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else.
The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, the Bears are awful. Anyway, continue.
I got nothing, so it's all yours.
You have none?
I have none.
I have like 3 weeks worth of tweets here. All right, here we go.
I've been busy, okay?
I know, but I have 3 weeks of tweets. Anyway, breaking. This will tell you how old these are. The fake ESPN breaking. After the loss to the Raiders, Andy Reid discovered in Kansas City... Discovered in Kansas City alley, passed out next to a syringe containing country gravy. Ringside collectibles. You lose and now you're buried with the ringside collectibles. The ringside collectibles casket playset. So that's just a plug for their casket. We've all seen it. Zack Ryder replied, Zack Ryder figure included? They replied, box set with wheelchair, casket, neck brace, Kane, and Eve Torres. CM Punk, eat, train, watch, Metamorphosis Pro, sleep, eat, train, watch, UFC, repeat, hi Paul. Kevin Cooney, greetings from the link, where the field has that distinctive November painted grass look. Bruce Arthur, if you're watching CFL on ESPN, try to ignore the tiny rips in our giant Canadian flag and possibly the quality of our respective teams. Congratulations to the Stampeders, I guess. The Eagles need, someone tweeted, the Eagles need to complete a pass, so Riley Cooper has to come out of the game. The reply was, sick burn. Comcast Sports Net goes, you have the ball. No, you have the ball. Turnovers for all. This was during the Titans game. Okay, Bronco, Gus Ramsey, okay, Bronco scoreboard guy, you've had a month to prepare, and Payne has lost 2-3 and is pissed, so you better have a good day. ProWrestling.net, the Falcons find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Fake John Madden, Mike Smith with the clutch performance in the Falcons loss. Frank Caliendo, I wish my fantasy football team was in the NFC South. We'd be in first place. Mike Hill, Tony Romo had to change clothes. That's so bad. Chris Jericho. Spoiler alert, new stable debuts tonight on WWE Raw. The Police will include Sting, Adam Copeland, and Summer. Hashtag nerdy rock joke. Keep it five star goes. Vince McMahon is treating Triple H and Stephanie McMahon like they got all F's on the report card. Frank Caliendo, I swear I just saw Rob Ryan pull a whole pizza out of his hair. Dolph Ziggler, happy Thanksgiving, more like Thanksgiving. My brother with a master's in philosophy would say before his usual Walmart greeting. Frank Caliendo, even my thumbs can't keep up with Chip Kelly's offense. Frank Caliendo, Mark Sanchez looks great. Really. Hashtag, I can't believe this isn't a sarcastic joke. Not SportsCenter. Report, Eagles coaches say telling Mark Sanchez he played for Dallas really helped his revival. He only aims for Eagles now. It's great. 97, The Fanatic. I think I'd rather be run over by a Black Friday crowd at Best Buy while people fight over a TV than listen to the Cowboys fans gloat. Hashtag beat Dallas. Chad Dukes, I don't like the Eagles, but I will watch them kick the shit out of Dallas. 97, The Fanatic. There's something so satisfying knowing you're ruining Jerry Jones' Thanksgiving. Hashtag beat Dallas. Paul Jolowitz, Dallas should have their turkey and mash at home. They've already had a couple of turnovers to tide them over. Frank Caliendo, I tell you what, man, until Tony Romo starts to throw to his team, it's going to be tough for the Cowboys to win, in the John Gruden voice. Gregory Helms, looks like the Eagles are having duck for Thanksgiving. Fake ESPN, DeMarco Murray climbs out of a turkey after getting stuffed by the Eagles defense. Colt Cabano, WWE removed all Scotty Goldman content off the network. Update, oops, it was never on there. Tara, real Lisa Murray. Big father-daughter dance night. Just got to teach my dad how to do the robot. Hashtag pop, lock, and drop it. Like you do. Not that Tom Green. This was a pre-tape. In the first take, Miz kept calling her Coral. You know, in reference to Coral from the Real World. Instead of Naomi. WWE Creative. Creative-ish. Anyone notice the growth on the bunny's back? Where are our WWE doctors? Oh, wait. That's his tail. And this is where Lindsay will, you know, chime in now. Because these are Rowan facts from Rob Schomburger and others. Yes. Eric Rowan does a perfect imitation of Melina's ring entrance. Hashtag Rowan facts. Eric Rowan designs all of Lana's suits. The prowler goes, Eric Rowan once solved the Rubik's Cube in his sleep. Rob Schomburger. Eric Rowan choreographs Fandango and Rose's routines. This explains why they're very stiff. Eric Rowan is Steve Austin's private brewmaster.
He could be.
Eric Rowan is teaching Cena Mandarin Chinese. Eric Rowan voiced the Sergeant Slaughter character for G.I. Joe. Eric Rowan is Andre the Giant's long-lost illegitimate Irish son. Eric Rowan invented time travel. He's actually from the future. Eric Rowan solved more cases than Detective Kali. Well, that's true. Eric Rowan was the model for the Slammy Award statue and for the Metallica Load album cover. The movie 8 Mile was based off of Eric Rowan beat R-Truth in an epic rap battle. I would like to see that.
Right?
Eric Rowan is actually both of Uncle Jesse's sons from Full House grown up. Eric Rowan is the brother referred to in all of Hogan's promos, but not the dude. That's Jeff Bridges. Rowan's beard won the Divas Championship in Japan, but WWE doesn't recognize the title change. Damn it, WWE.
Rowan's beard for champ.
Eric Rowan.
Hashtag it.
Eric Rowan is the reason Lesnar doesn't appear more often. Brock is tired of being beat in categories. By the way, we have a note on Eric Rowan here in a minute. Eric Rowan ribs Cena constantly by stealing his singlet, leaving him to only wrestle in jorts. Those are the Rowan facts. And one other one, breaking as a punishment for ruining an 0-82-76ers season, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been fined $500,000 and will be demoted to the WNBA. Because, you know, the Sixers are the worst team in basketball, but they got their first win over the Timberwolves. So that's the very long 3-week edition of Tweet of the Week. Now, the note on Eric Rowan is simple. So next week on this show, we're previewing what pay-per-view, Lindsay?
Tables, ladders, and chairs, and oh wait, stairs.
They changed. It's now WWE TLC, tables, ladders, chairs, .. and stairs. They even had to change the graphic.
It's TLCS. It's TLCs. Doesn't have the same ring to it, but yeah, we got a kick out of that today because it was like, oh my god, they changed it just for Eric Rowan's match. That is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely tremendous. And they even have a cute little stair drawn on it because the graphic designer was like, what? You want me to do what? Ah, screw it. Draw us the stairs on. There, you happy? There's damn stairs.
Right? Yeah, that was kind of awesome. Alright, so we're not going to go through the full show tonight because we have a pay-per-view, live event to preview, live special, whatever you want to call it. It's called WWE NXT TakeOver R Evolution, which will be live next week on the WWE Network from 8 to 10, and we'll recap it all next week on the show. Tonight's show is basically an idea of, hey, let's push everybody and send some messages, that sort of thing.
Well, I think Adrian Neville got his from Sami Zayn, that's for damn sure.
And we'll get into that in a bit. So we're going to make some quick picks and preview the matches. And first, the first person doesn't have an opponent, but we need to talk about the debut of Kevin Owens. This one should be really interesting.
I'm very curious to see Owens. I haven't seen a lot of Steen's work, So I'm very, very curious to see him and what he brings to the table. It's kind of the same thing that was for Kenta and Prince Devitt. I know of them, but I've not seen a lot of their work. So, again, it's that curiosity of being exposed to somebody new and what they have to offer. So, yeah, I'm curious and reserved excited.
Yeah, the promos have been good. Tonight's was really good. He talked about his history in wrestling and how he's grown up with people like Adrian Neville and Daniel Bryan, and Sami Zayn is his best friend, but they all got the call up before him, and now it's his chance to change the world.
Dude, no, Steen, you didn't know Sami Zayn. You knew El Generico. Don't confuse them. They're not the same person.
No, Kevin Owens knew Sami Zayn. Kevin Steen knew El Generico.
No.
Anyway. So I'm looking forward to the debut. I think he'll be really well known. I think the crowd will be really behind him. And just with these promos, they were a little Wyatt-esque, just some of the way they were shot a little bit, the little darkness in them. But it was really good. He told a good story. I'm looking forward to his debut, and I actually think he has... Going in, I thought that Tommy and Baylor had more potential, but I actually... Well, the way these promos are based, I think Kevin Owens may be the breakout of the three.
He's kind of the complete package, from what I understand. He can talk, he can work, and he's got a look to him that's very unique. As good as Kenta and Devitt are, I haven't seen that spark yet, and I want to see it from them because it's like, you know, they're really good in the ring, but I want to see more of them as an individual. But yeah, again, very, very, very curious for Owens and what he can do.
You mentioned Tommy and Baylor, and tonight we saw an impressive comeback from the duo. I still think that they're selling a little too much. It's been my case for a while, and again, what's his name? The announcer. The white dude. What's his name?
I don't know, but he's annoying.
Oh, Rich Brennan. That dude. It's Pele kick. Don't call it a soccer kick. It's Pele. Everyone knows Pele. Call it Pele. Don't be an idiot. It's not a soccer kick. You already used the word Pele. Keep using Pele. That's
just
all.
Say Pele one more time.
Pele. Pele, 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 Pele. Got it? Pele kick.
Got it.
Got it. They're selling too much, but the finish, the double stomp, that's scary dangerous. Just not gonna lie, that was scary dangerous when they took on Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd when he did the Breeze. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was kinda scary. So, oh, hey, we have a celebrity in our chat.
Wait, do we have a Goldberg?
Goldberg. Yeah, we have a Goldberg in our chat room.
We have a Goldberg in our chat.
Yeah, we have a Goldberg, a celebrity.
Ooh, fancy.
Fancy, a celebrity in the house. Say hi, everybody. Hi to Matt Goldberg, you know, the guy behind Wrestling Figure Wednesday at youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Got the plug in, so he heard it. So we brought
And we actually got the plug right this time.
Because I said it.
I've been getting the plug right lately. Kind of. At least one out of two.
No, alright, so I was reading websites, and I wanted to throw this name by you. Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd, they called them Pretty Facts. I kind of like the name Pretty Facts for that duo.
I like the name, but I don't want Tyler Breeze with Tyson Kidd.
No, I don't want that either. But, anyway, so again, the double stomp is dangerous if done often the way it was. But they have a match. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I like the double stomp. It's a really sick-looking move, but it's a really terrifying thing when he's jumping on the back of somebody's neck. I know he's a trained professional. I know he's done it a million times, and he's got it, but there's just that off chance that something could go wrong. And if he misses and lands wrong, one or both of them could be very seriously injured. So it's just, it's kind of scary where it's he's jumping and landing on the back of people's necks. So it's like, I don't know about this.
So they're taking on, the Hideo and Baylor are taking on the Ascension at NXT R-Evolution. You would assume it's Hideo and Baylor going over, right?
Right.
Hold on, Acer, it's Matt Goldberg. Matt Goldberg.
Get the plug right.
Matt Goldberg. Anyway, Matt Goldberg. So, Hideo and Baylor, that should be the one that goes over?
I would say so, yeah. That makes the most sense where you have them get that first really big win as a team.
Yeah, and again, this is their chance to shine for the first time live in a live setting for a match. So, and with the Ascension rumored to going up to WWE, it would make sense for them to go out on their back, I guess, is the way to do it.
Yeah.
So we're in agreement, Hideo and Finn win?
I would say so.
All right, Kinkins, write these down so we remember. NXT Tag Team Titles on the line. The Lucha Dragons defend against the Vaude Villains. And so.
The Silent Films. Oh, my God.
So I told Lindsay about the one from last week, which was the same one they aired tonight, you know, going after the Lucha Dragons. Tremendous.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's one of the best promos I have seen in a long damn time. It's so creative. It's so damn creative. It's so cute. It's perfect for them. It works. I want to see that on the main roster. These two need to go up to the main roster together, and they need to do that on the main roster because it will be epic. But yeah, the Vaude Villains, oh my God, I'm completely in love with them. They're adorable.
So are you going with the Vaude Villains?
Of course.
I'm going with the Dragons. I don't see them giving the belts to the Vaude Villains just yet. I don't see it either, but
it's my heart.
Yeah.
Go with my heart.
I hope I'm wrong. Then NXT Women's Championship, Charlotte taking on Sasha Banks, and tonight was a really good build-up for them. The pay-per-view. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Charlotte told Bayley not to get involved or call out the girls. And last week, she called out the girls, basically, and then got her knee messed up, thanks to Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. And while Sasha was talking some smack to Charlotte, and Charlotte was challenging her to come to a fight, and then Bayley with a knee brace comes and walks, hobbles onto the ramp, and yeah, she talked some smack, called her a ratchet, I believe it was. Her face was ratchet, and then got beat down, got attacked by Sasha, and Charlotte made the save, and Charlotte dragged Sasha to the ring, was going to attack her, but Becky got involved, and then Sasha laid her out. It's been a really nice build to this matchup. I don't know if this will be on par with the previous couple women's matches we've seen on the live specials, but I think this will be, if they've given them a chance, and I think they will, this could be a good match. It won't be as great as a match, but I have high expectations for this one.
Sasha can go and Charlotte can go. I don't know how they can, how the world will work together, but this should be a good match. It should be very entertaining to watch. There's going to be I think it's going to be an extremely aggressive match. But that being said, I think let's see.
I had the theory where Sasha wins because Bayley tried to interfere and it cost Charlotte the belt. That was before tonight's episode. I think Charlotte retains because Becky screws up. So I'm going Charlotte with the win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bayley shows up and accidentally cost her friend Charlotte the victory. And yeah,
I can see Charlotte winning by, let's see. No, I see Sasha winning, but by DQ. So the belt does not change hands on this show, but Sasha gets the win because Sasha needs a win under her belt, a big win under her belt, and to beat Charlotte would be a big win. So I don't think they're quite ready to put the belt on her yet.
No, I think it's a little too early.
But I would say Sasha gets the win by either interference from Becky or Bayley, but Charlotte retains.
Okay, and then it brings us to our main event. Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn's basically putting his NXT career on, I guess his career online, never said specifically. He doesn't deserve to be in NXT if he can't win the big one, beat Adrian Neville. And the talk has been, Sami's too nice. Sami's way too nice. And tonight, Sami just had it. And Neville was putting out his hand and Sami was like, No. I always do that. I'm always nice. I always respect. And then he just slapped the living crap out of Adrian Neville. And you heard and felt that slap.
He slapped the taste out of his mouth. It was like, holy shit. Okay.
Right. So, so they've done a good job of building this one. I'm going Sami Zayn for the win.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready for Zayn to go up to the main roster yet. And I think it's something of, you give Zayn that big victory, you give him the win over Adrian Neville, he goes over clean, and the belt changes hands. And, I mean, you can have Adrian cash in the next taping and get his belt back. But, yeah, I picture Sami getting the victory here because I don't think they're ready to write him off TV simply because he has not made his debut on the main roster yet, unless they're going to reveal him as the Bunny.
Please don't reveal him as the Bunny.
Yeah, please don't reveal him as the Bunny. But yeah, they're not ready to write him off TV yet. So I would say Sami gets his win.
And there you have it. That's our NXT R Evolution preview right here on the rack. There may be a confrontation between Baron Corbin and the Wyatt Love Child.
Go Baron.
But that was not confirmed as of yet. So we'll see if that happens. Or maybe we'll see a couple squash matches and the brawl breaks out or something like that. Because the fans like to count for Baron Corbin. Please let I don't know if it's going to be a good match, but we'll have to see if they do go that way. But overall, I'm looking forward to NXT R Evolution next week.
I agree with that.
But I say, I think we're done.
I think we're done too, so, well, get the plug-in.
Saturday night, I should say, is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter, at CB Radio WTR, and facebook.com/cigarettebutts and bandanas. Check out the website, cbradiolive.com. Use the hashtag blame Rob. Beforehand, we play Cards Against Humanity, where we make fun of Kinkins, because that's what we do. Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, covering Week in Pro Wrestling, and they'll preview WWE TLC tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. Monday night's Raw post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com at 10 p.m. Eastern. Now we're challenging each and every one of you, King Kins, Tommy, Matt Goldberg, and everyone else, Acer, and everyone else, because we have a mission for you.
We do?
Ask The Rack is coming back.
Yes.
We want you to send us questions. Everyone in our chat room who listens to the show, follows it on Twitter or on Facebook, send us questions, because for Christmas, we're doing Ask the Rack. So, Matt, we want questions from you. We're putting you to work for once. We plug you all the time. You have to send us weird questions, and we will answer every single one of them on the special Christmas show.
Yep.
See what happens, Matt, when you show up, we give you work. You can send that question, and if you send a smart-ass question, expect a smart-ass question response in return. King Kittens, you as well. So we're going to do Ask the Rack for the Christmas episode. So we're giving you 2.5 weeks' notice. Give us questions. Hashtag Ask the Rack. Email them to media@wildtalkradio.com or put them on the Facebook page at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, facebook.com/WTRTheRack, or you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say yes. Or are you done?
I did Facebook and Twitter in the plug, so, you know.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And speaking of viewing pleasure, please go check out our awesome sponsors, pwmania.com for all your news needs, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, because he's got all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!